Well, if you've been with us over the last few weeks, we have been in obviously a football-themed series called Game Plan. And we've had a good time talking about the gospel through the lens of football. There's so many parallels when you really think about it. I know when I played sports, there were so many things that I learned and I've been able to carry over into even ministry in my Christian walk just from things that I learned in sports. And so we've been grabbing some examples from football and tying that into the gospel. And, you know, a lot of what we've been talking about is how God has a game plan in several different areas of our life. And as we just sang about, that his love endures forever. God's love endures forever. One of the cool things that I was reminded of is really this series, although it's talking about God's plan and purpose for your life, it's really about God's love for us. Because it always starts with God's love. God's love is the reason that God has a plan for us. I was reminded, we were in a refresh group, in our refresh group on Wednesday night, and we were reading about how God is the creator of everything, and God and Jesus was there in creation, and how Jesus has such a plan for our life and holds everything together. And we were reminded that Jesus loved the world before Jesus, the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, loved the world before creating it. And I want to remind us of that this morning as we're talking about God's game plan in several areas of our life. It's because God wants a relationship with us, wants us to grow in that relationship, and because of God's great love for you and for me. And so we've talked about over the last few weeks, the first week we talked about the scoreboard and how in so many areas of our life, there's a lot of different scoreboards that we can go by. Everybody has a lot of people try to redefine what the scoreboard that we go by. And a lot of times what we find in our life is as a parent or in our marriage or even our relationship with God, that we want to know, do we measure up? Are we good enough? Because we don't want to be inches short of the goal line. And we talked about in the first week how because of God's great love for you and for me, that God has made a way for us to measure up, to be acceptable in God's eyes not because of what we have done for God, but because of what God has done for us. And then we talked in the second week about how there's a lot of fans out there in football games and how God wants to take us from becoming just his fans of Jesus, and turning us into becoming true followers that don't just cheer him on, but that truly follow what he says and where God wants us to go. And last week, if you were here, we talked about how you can know the role or position that God has for life. How you can know the specific purpose God has for you within the body of Christ, within his team, the church. And God has given you certain gifts so that you can be in ministry, so that you can be used by God right where you are right now. Not just at church, but Monday through Friday. And so that's what we've been going through. And today I'm going to shift our focus to really talking about God's love in a way that we can really share, the way we can kind of share it. We're talking about being a playmaker. And if you're familiar with that term, you may not be, but in a football game, a playmaker is a player on a team who usually has exceptional abilities. They're usually one of the best players on the team, and they usually, they almost always influence the outcome of the game by the way they play. They're so talented by the way they do things, and usually they're a leader on and off the field that all the team looks up to them. And they're able to take sometimes very average teams, and a playmaker can raise the level of the whole team, causing the whole team around them to play better. And so oftentimes, almost every team has seen some remarkable playmakers. If you're a Georgia Bulldog fan, I have heard so many stories about the great Herschel Walker that are told over and over. We like to tell these stories about the playmakers for our teams. The great Herschel Walker, he stormed onto the college football scene in 1980. And because he was such a talented athlete, he took the Georgia Bulldogs to an undefeated season and a national championship. And people still tell the stories about how Herschel Walker made a difference for the Georgia Bulldogs. As many of you know, I'm a Tennessee Vols fan, and I'm humble enough to wear Alabama colors this morning because we got beat. And so in humility, I'm wearing the other team's stuff. Actually, that was by accident. But anyway, as a Tennessee fan, we still talk about the great Reggie White, who's now passed away. He was called the minister of defense, the leader in sacks and all that. But we also talk about Peyton Manning, of course, who's still playing, who was one of the greatest quarterbacks of all time, who came through and paved the way for the sixth national championship for Tennessee. He was a great playmaker that made a difference not only on the team around, but on the whole stadium around him. And maybe a really good recent example is with the Auburn University Tigers. Auburn had a decent team, a good team, and then they added a playmaker named Cam Newton. And Cam was only there, I believe, for 1 year. Is that right? With the Auburn Tigers. And he was able to elevate a seemingly average team to win a national championship just because he was that type of playmaker. And so many playmakers have impacted not only the team around them, but their entire fan base. In fact, if you go to whatever team you like or whatever, you can go to the bookstore or where they sell merchandise, and you see the number of those playmakers that you look up to, because they've made an impact so much on the fan base. And oftentimes, they retire the numbers of their jerseys and post them around the stadium because they want to remember the impact they made. And fans often remember where they were when a playmaker made a particular play in a game that influenced the outcome of a game. And you always remember where you were and what you saw. And you usually share stories that say something like this: hey, remember that time when? And you reminisce about what all they did. Playmakers not only influence the game, but they make a lasting impact on the stadium around them. And so today I want to talk with you about being a playmaker. And not in the sense of college football or anything like that, but because of God's great love for us. Being a playmaker by sharing the good news of Jesus within the stadium around us. But before we go into that, I have to remind us that oftentimes when we think about sharing about who God is, oftentimes we forget that it's in response to the love that God already has for us. That God is really the great playmaker in the Bible. We see this all throughout the scripture, and it doesn't use the term playmaker, but God is the great playmaker who is always working in people's lives. And if you don't get anything else out of this today, and maybe you're not a follower of Jesus yet or anything, but I want you to know that God is always working in your life. That God is always working in your life in so many different ways. In fact, God is working in the heart and life of every single person, working to lead us into a loving relationship with God, because God loves us so much. And that love is not not any kind of love that we would experience within any human dimension on this earth. It's one of those things where God loves us with this perfect agape love that never fails. It never gives up. That God continues to love us. And so God is always working in our life to free us from the things that bind us. God is always working to help us to overcome, giving us the power to overcome what we go through. He's always working to save us from the things, from the sins that could easily hold us back from who God's created us to be. God's working to seal our identity so that we're not defined by the things of our past or our failures or our disappointments or the things that others say about us. But instead, if we're in Jesus, we're defined by who Jesus says we are, that we are loved and created for a purpose, that we are a holy priesthood, royal priesthood, and holy nation. And God is working also to restore you and me into a loving relationship with Him. That's an amazing, amazing thing, just realizing that God is a great playmaker. And we can look at a lot of different sources, a lot of different self-help books. There's a lot of things, books on the bookshelf right now that you can pick up, and it's a how-to manual for anything, that you can do it, you can be this. But I want you to know, it's nothing like our Savior, that God really is the great playmaker who can impact us. And when we allow God to be involved in the ingredients of our life, God can make us into the people we've always longed to be, who we've been created to be. And so as people who have received really such good news of how God is pouring into us day by day by day, we have an opportunity for those who are in Christ to turn our mirror around, not so that God just pours into us, but to be a reflection of who Jesus is in the world, to share that good news. To share with other people, hey, I've experienced this in Christ, and I want you to come along too. And so today I want to talk with you about God's game plan of how for every believer to become playmakers alongside of God in sharing the good news of Jesus. And so so if you have your Bibles, you can turn to Colossians chapter 4. It's a very small book of the Bible in the New Testament, and Colossians chapter 4. And if you don't have a Bible, no worries. The words will also be on the screen, but we also offer free Bibles every Sunday that are out on our connection point. So if you will, we offer this as a free gift for anybody who doesn't have one. And so if you would, just pick one up on your way out this morning. You can write your name in it and let that be our gift to you. We believe that when we read this book, it's more than a book, it's living, that God can speak to us through the power of the Holy Spirit and can do some amazing things in our life. So we know it's so important for us to be readers of the Word. So if you have your Bibles, go ahead and turn there to Colossians chapter 4. And I invite you this morning to stand in honor and reverence of the reading of God's Word. Before we read it, Paul is writing here, and he's talking about how we can share the good news of Jesus. There's a lot of different ways to share the good news. One of the ways is by the way we serve. One of the ways is by the way we love people. But today we're going to talk about how you can specifically share the good news by talking about Jesus. So here's how Paul tells us in Colossians chapter 4, verse 2. It says this: devote yourselves to prayer, being watchful and thankful. And pray for us too, that God may open a door for our message, so that we may proclaim the mystery of Christ, for which I am in chains. Pray that I may proclaim it clearly as I should. Be wise in the way you act toward outsiders. Make the most of every opportunity. Let your conversation be always full of grace, seasoned with salt, so that you may know how to answer everyone. This is the word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. The grass withers and the flowers fade, but the word of our God stands forever. You can have a seat. Amen. Amen. Well, I already said the Apostle Paul wrote this. And when he wrote this, one of the things I want you to know, something really interesting here that you don't get if you just read the words, is that the Apostle Paul actually wrote this while he was in prison. Kind of an interesting thing. He was actually thrown into prison because he was sharing the good news of Jesus. It was so contagious. It was like God had been so wrapped up in his life that it was just as simple as breathing. It was like everything that he did, God was breathing into his life. And every time he breathed out, it was like he was wanting to tell people about Christ, because God had seen the profound impact, or he had seen the profound impact God had on him. And so that's why Paul says, the mystery of the gospel for which I am in chains. He's literally in chains. He's in prison. And so he's writing this, and he was thrown into prison because he kept sharing his faith, and people kept saying, you can't do that, you can't do that, you can't do that. And it was just like breathing. He kept sharing it. He didn't care. In fact, he spent the time to write this letter to encourage Christians, to show them, hey, you know, it's not that difficult. Here's how you share the good news of Jesus. It's just as simple as God pouring into you and you pouring out into the world. And so nothing seemed to hinder his desire to share about Christ. No chain, no, he'd been beaten several times because of Jesus, but he knew that this was such good news that he didn't want anybody to miss out from the opportunity to hear about the love of God, the love that God has not just for the world collectively, but for us individually, for every single person. And so it's really interesting to know about Paul before, that God sometimes uses people that don't make sense to spread the good news of Jesus. And Paul was one of those people. In fact, if you know anything about Paul, his name used to be Saul. And Saul, before his conversion, he was one of the greatest persecutors of Christianity. He was a huge skeptic of who Jesus was. In fact, he spent his whole life trying to kill Christians, persecute them, and throw them into prison. This is what Saul did before his name was Paul. But then one day, God intersected his life. You know those moments, if you've experienced God working in your life, there's those moments where it's almost like heaven meets earth, where the regular things in life seem to intersect with the things in heaven. And you realize that God is not just doing things in the words on a page. And God is not just doing things in churches that you've maybe seen before, or in the lives of people who say that they're Christians, who profess to be Christians. But you start to realize that God has a plan for your life, and that God loves you too. And it's out of this desire, out of this thing that where Jesus intersected his life, everything changed. In fact, God actually changed his name from Saul to Paul. And he actually is the writer of a lot of the letters, the books in the New Testament. God used the most unlikely person to be the one to spread the good news of Jesus Christ throughout the whole world. And it was so contagious to him that he couldn't help sharing it. It was almost like somebody being infected with the flu. You know, you get the flu by being around people with the flu. And so it was one of those things where he had been so infected by Jesus. He had experienced Jesus, and everybody that he got around, everybody that was around Paul, suddenly caught Jesus too. It was almost like he was rubbing off to everybody. And oftentimes, Paul didn't have to say these large, lofty words. He was incredibly smart. But he said he came to people in humility. He came in fear. He came in fear and trembling. Sometimes not using his own reason and all the things that he could to share the gospel, but sometimes just proclaiming who Jesus was, that he was crucified and he was raised from the dead so that we can have life with Christ. And he was so excited about sharing about Jesus because he knew the profound impact that Jesus had made on him. And that's really the heart. And when we talk about sharing the good news of Jesus, what an opportunity to experience the love that God has had for us, but also to be able to share that with other people. It's an amazing thing that God calls everybody who is in Christ to be a part of. And so when you experience the power of Jesus in your life, it's oftentimes so contagiously transformational that you can't help sharing it too. And oftentimes we look in our lives and we want our family and we want our friends and we want those in our sphere of influence, in the stadium around us, to experience who Jesus is. Maybe you've come to the fountain and maybe have experienced, although we're not a perfect community, we're a broken community that's seeking to follow a perfect Savior. And maybe you've experienced community like you haven't experienced before, and you've gotten a taste of who Jesus is through this community, and God is going to continue to grow you. Maybe you've experienced that, and you've walked away and said, I wish other people could experience this as well. But sometimes, if I'm honest, sometimes we feel incapable to share with other people about who Jesus is. Sometimes we feel incapable, or sometimes we fear that maybe if we share with somebody about come to church with us or about who Jesus is, that maybe we'll be rejected. We don't want to be rejected. Or sometimes we just don't know how to do it. In fact, most of us have seen a lot of really bad examples that have really tainted the way it means to share the good news of Jesus. We've all seen those bad examples before. You know, things where people are standing somewhere and handing out tracts and putting them on your windows that say all these things about what you're not and you're not good enough, you can't do this and you need Christ and all that. And you're like, gosh, I already feel beat down in my life, and how does this impact me? And you say, if that's what it means to share the gospel, I'm out. Or maybe you've seen the guy or girl on the street corner outside of a ball game. You're enjoying the game. You're enjoying everything that's going on. And they pull out the bullhorn and they're yelling things about what they think God says about all these people that are in the stadium and they were sinners and all that stuff. And we can't do anything well. And they're yelling all this stuff through a bullhorn. And what comes across is not really what Jesus intends. And we look at that and we say, if that's what it means to share the gospel, I'm out. I'm not a part of that. In fact, I think that that's not really the way Jesus had in mind either when he told us, when he sent us into the world to share the gospel of Jesus Christ. We're not called to be bullhorn guy that yells at people and screams people or argues people into the kingdom of God, but instead loves people so well that people start to see Jesus in us. And when a door opens, we're able to easily share who Jesus is because they see what Jesus is doing in us. And so what Paul is talking about here is not this misguided approach that often prevents people from sharing or prevents people from even experiencing Jesus, really. But he's really talking about sharing the good news through our relationships, sharing about who Jesus is and his love through our relationships. And so what Paul is doing here in Colossians chapter 4 is giving us a roadmap. Here's the game plan for how you can do this. It's not an all-inclusive, here's what to do, or anything like that. But it tells us a few things about how we can share our faith and how you can share your faith in your sphere of influence. So here's a couple helpful hints, that he says. It says in verse 2, devote yourselves to prayer. And that seems like a funny way to start, because you would think it would start with, you would start with, like, let's go out and let's meet people and let's try to share the good news of Jesus because of who Jesus is. But it says, devote yourselves to prayer. It's always reminding us that really, if God is going to do anything in the world, if God is going to use us in any kind of way, we're dependent on God to flow through us. We're not called to be water buckets where God just pours in and pours in and pours in, and we never dump it over in order to experience, in order to share that to others. But instead, God's created us to be more like a water hose, that as God pours into our life, God wants to flow through us. So as God is pouring in, we're flowing out, and people are experiencing who Jesus is by the way we live and by the way we share and by the way we love. And so he says, devote yourselves to prayer. It's because we're dependent on God. You know, prayer really does change things. In fact, one of my favorite verses, it comes from 2 Chronicles chapter 7, verse 14. And this is the Lord, and he says this. He says, if my people who are called by my name will humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then I will hear from heaven and will forgive their sin and will heal their land. If my people pray. And so if we want to see our community, this community in the Johns Creek, Suwannee, whatever this is called area, if we want to see this community impacted for Jesus, and if you want to see your friends come to know the love of God in their own life and what it means tangibly in their life, and if you want to be a witness in your sphere of influence, it starts with asking God to do it through you. You know, sometimes we forget that God has more invested in your ministry than you do. In fact, God has more invested in the people around you than you do. Because after all, God is already working in the heart and life of every person. God wants a relationship with every person. And so God already wants to impact our community. God already wants to woo people into a relationship with Him. But it starts by remembering that God is the great playmaker. That God is the agent of change. And realizing that we get to partner with God to become playmakers with Him by sharing the good news of who He is. But it depends on God opening the door in our community and in our sphere of influence. And so this week, I want to encourage you to begin praying. Begin praying for God to open up doors. Not so that you can twist somebody into the kingdom of God, but so that you can share the good news of Jesus by what Jesus has done in you. There's nothing more contagious than seeing God alive in somebody's life, in your life, and sharing that with somebody else. It's so contagious. And so I want to encourage you to pray that something like this: God, I pray that you open the door for opportunity today. And God, if you open the door, I pray that you give me the strength and the ability to walk through it. And it's one of those things, if you start praying that God will open up opportunities, it's amazing how God will open up doors in ways that you never imagined and will enable you to speak to people and to share about who Jesus is to you in ways that you never thought was possible through you. But God can use you. In fact, a good example of this is in the book of Acts. In the book of Acts, this is the story of the early church. And there was a Christian named Philip. And Philip, this is just almost hilarious, just kind of how this happens. But Philip was just walking down the road, and he sees this eunuch. There's a eunuch in the Bible, and he sees this eunuch who was sitting down and was reading the scriptures. He was reading from the book of Isaiah. And he was reading it. And I don't know if he was just showing up and paying attention and realized the guy probably didn't know what he was doing or what he looked maybe puzzled. But Philip saw the open door and he walked up to him and said, "Hey, do you understand what you're reading?" And you won't believe how God opened the door. Here's what the eunuch said. He said, "How can I unless someone explains it to me? How can I unless someone explains it to me?" You see how amazing that is, how God just opened up a door. He's basically saying, "Hey, I'm waiting on somebody to share with me about what this whole thing means." He was already interested. God was already at work in his heart and life. And all he had to do was show up and pay attention for how God wanted to use him. And he could have said to that eunuch, "You know what? Good luck with that. I hope you find what you're looking for." But man, when God opens a door, he invites us to walk through it. And to be a part of share, helping people to experience the love of Jesus by the way we say. And so he was able to share with this eunuch who Jesus was. And so this is just an incredible opportunity how God will open up doors if we're praying. And so sharing the good news of Jesus, it's important to remember that it's primarily God's mission. It's the mission of God. It's not what we do. It's what God is already doing in the world. And we have an opportunity to partner with our playmaker to become playmakers with him. And God chooses to use us to be the primary instruments to point people to who Jesus is because of the incredible love God has for us and for them. But one of the reasons people are oftentimes afraid to be used by God, if I'm honest, and I've been there before, is because sometimes we put so much pressure on ourselves to be this perfect witness or to say the right things, and we don't want to mess up. We don't want to be messed up and all the stuff that we're doing for Jesus, because we think that we're sometimes bringing Jesus into people's life for the first time. Now, certainly when we serve and when we love and when we share, we are ambassadors for Christ. We are the light of the world. We are sharing who Jesus is. But one of the things that I love when we go on a mission trip somewhere, or you go to a place that's never heard of the name of Jesus, we're not bringing Jesus there. You know, God is already at work there. God has already arrived. God is already at work in this world, and God invites us to be a part of what God is already doing. And so our job is not to bring people to Jesus for the first time, but to often point people to God who is already working in their life. And so one of the things that's so cool is that I love that the Holy Spirit is already working in the heart and life of every person. And our job Our job as Christians is to just show up and pay attention for how God wants to use us. And when God opens a door, to recognize that and be willing to walk through it to help people to experience who He is. One of the best ways you can do this practically, here's to put some skin on this, is just by sharing your own faith story, your own faith journey. If you're in a refresh group this season, we've been sharing our faith journey within the group. And for some people, maybe you've never shared that before with anybody. And it's been a very powerful time for us as we share it, but also for the people who hear it. It's been very transformational to see how God has worked really in people's lives. Not just stuff that we read about and we say, well, God's working in my life, but to hear the specifics. And so one of the best ways that you can do this is by just sharing with people how you've seen Jesus at work in you. Because sometimes people don't see God in their own life because no one pointed Jesus out in their own. And so when you share your faith, when you share your faith journey with people, sometimes that puts skin on what God is doing in the world. That they suddenly start to say, well, wow, God was involved in that. And they start to be able to see in their own life how God might be working in their life right now. And so when Paul, going back to the scripture, when Paul says to us, it's kind of an interesting word how he says the outsiders. What he's talking about basically is he's writing this letter to Christians. And he's basically saying, hey, when you share the gospel, when you're helping people to experience Christ's love, this is what you're to do. He's not saying that some are in and some are out. He's saying, here's how I want you to interact with people. And he says, be wise in the way you act toward outsiders. When he says that, he's not talking about putting on an act. He's talking about be wise by the way you act. It doesn't mean that you have to act perfect or to be someone you're not. You know, sharing your faith comes out of the response of what God is doing in and through your life. And if you're somebody like Paul, who is so in tune with the Holy Spirit and what God's doing in their life, it's one of those things where it's as simple as breathing. God is breathing in your life, and as you breathe out, you're able to just share who Jesus is. And so it's not this fake thing. It's just a response of what God is doing in us. In fact, sometimes one of the things that I've found in my own life, even as a pastor, is those moments of vulnerability, when we're willing to share our vulnerability, imperfections, and even to open up about some things that we've gone through in our own life. Those are sometimes the strongest places where people can cling onto and can experience who Christ really is. Because if they're always looking at a perfect stained glass masquerade that everything's going good, then it's hard to say, well, how could Jesus... you end up saying, well, how could Jesus work in my life? But if you let people experience what God has done in your life through even your weaknesses, then it causes people to lean in and say, well, if Jesus did that in you, maybe He can do the same thing in me. This is one of the cool things about being a Christian. And so, you know, Paul really means that every opportunity is an opportunity to help people to have a better impression of Jesus. In fact, every moment, if you use the yard line here, every moment is an opportunity to either lead people one step or one yard closer to Jesus, or it can also be an opportunity that we misuse and could pull people away from who Jesus is. And so the way you act toward people is the greatest platform that God uses to open the door to sharing the gospel. I've heard it said before that people don't care what you know until they know you care. And really, when we're talking about sharing the good news of Jesus, sometimes we put these brick walls up and say, oh, I could never do that. I don't want to be offensive or anything like that. But one of the things that's so cool is that it's really in response to the incredible love God has for us and for people. And showing how we care is one of the best ways to spread the gospel. People don't care what you know until they know you care. And so really it's about loving people well enough. Loving people well enough. And God opens the door for you to begin to share about who Jesus is. The last part of this says that let your conversations be always full of grace, seasoned with salt, so that you may know how to answer everyone. So when you talk with people about God, we're not to act like we're better than anybody else. In fact, I've said before that evangelism or sharing your faith is just one beggar telling another beggar how to get food. It's saying that, hey, I'm no better than anybody else because Jesus has come and invaded my life. I'm just one beggar. I was a beggar at one time who needed Jesus, and Jesus intersected my life. And I want to show you how Jesus can intersect yours as well. And so And so one of the things that this means is that our conversation should always be helpful and uplifting with people. And when it talks about giving an answer to everyone, I'm reminded of the words of 1 Peter chapter 3, verse 15, when it says, always be prepared to give an answer to everyone who asks you to give the reason for the hope that you have. Always be prepared to give an answer. And as a Christian, this is one of those things that, especially when I was growing up, where I was always, I was following God and going to church and all these things. But when I read a word like that, it makes you tune your ears to what God really is doing in our lives. You know, always be prepared to give an answer. So if someone were to ask you why you follow Jesus, what would you say? I mean, what has God been doing in your life? Those are the things that God wants you to be able to share with people. Not to kick a door down and if an opportunity is not there, but if somebody says, hey, why do you go to church? Or why do you do this Jesus stuff? Do you really believe this? You can say, you know what I've experienced in Christ. You don't have to be all churchy or anything, but you can just say, look, here's what Jesus has done for me. And oftentimes, that's one of the most exciting things people can hear because they see how God can also work in them. Another thing, the last thing I'll say about being a playmaker is I can remember some incredible playmakers in my own life. Some incredible playmakers in my own life who were God used to intersect them and to help me to grow into the man that I am, the man of God that I am. One of those people that made a difference in my life was Brenda Westmoreland. She was my youth pastor at my home church, and she was a 60-something-year-old female youth pastor. She didn't fit the mold of anything a youth pastor was supposed to look like. She didn't have the black rimmed glasses and the soul patch and all that stuff, but she loved us so well. And when I remember when I started going to church there, I would just watch her every single day, and she would share about the love of Christ, and it was just so constant with her faith. It was always like you knew that she believed it with all of her heart because she was always the person that she always was, sharing about who Jesus was. And she loved me into a relationship with Christ. In fact, in the seventh grade, when I decided to say yes to Jesus, I was at a youth camp, and she's the one that prayed with me as I received Christ into my life. And it was because of her constant faith and witness. So she was a great playmaker in my life. Another great playmaker for me was Brooke Whitmire. And Brooke Whitmire is the voice of the Georgia Bulldogs, so to tie in our football theme. He is the one who announces over the loudspeaker at all the Georgia games. It's the one that says, first down, Georgia, as I'm cringing because they got a first down against Tennessee. But Brooke became a good friend of mine. He was actually one of the principals at Duluth High School. And Brooke would call me into his office. This is something you don't see very often in the school system, but he would call me into his office. And I was like, am I in trouble? What's going on? And he'd say, hey, Andy, I really God's laid on my heart I just wanted to talk with you about your faith and just see what God's doing in your life right now. And it was one of those things where somebody took an opportunity to invest in me when I was a junior, senior in high school. And I would talk about what God's doing in my life, and he would then end almost every time we talked together by saying, and how can I pray for you today? And he would share his faith with me and what he's gone through, and it ended up being an incredible witness to me. And it wasn't something where he was preaching on a stage. We were in his office, and he was sharing what Jesus had done in him, and it made a profound impact in my life. Another one, great playmakers for me have been my parents. And I know for many of y'all many of you have grown up in church, and you can point to people like that. But for me, my parents have been incredible playmakers for me. And one of those things where... always grew up going to church and all that stuff. And it's because, the legacy that my parents laid on my life. And, dad's here today, mom's in the back. When we first started the process of planting this church, it was one of those things where I said, hey, can you give us 3 months and come and make an impact here? And it's been such a contagious experience that they said, hey, we want to be a part of it long term. And so they've signed on to, now I'm their pastor. But it's one of those things where that we grew up going to church because of their faith. They shared their faith by every time the church doors were open, we were there. And they would always take us to church, and they would share with us about faith in Christ. And I grew up singing Jesus Loves Me, This I Know, before I even knew about the love of Christ. And it was one of those things in my life where, because my parents took the time to invest in us spiritually, it made a profound impact on who I am and who we are as a family. And so I just want to remind you, for you who are parents or who are going to be parents someday, or for those who have grandkids or people in your sphere of influence, you never know the difference you're going to make. just by investing in people's life, by being willing to bring them maybe even to church, but to experience who Jesus is. There's so many ways to make an impact. And so the question I want to ask for you today is, who might God be calling you to invest in or to share your faith with? Because you never know. How God can use you to make an impact. You could be that playmaker that someone always remembers, that God intersected their story to use them as a means to grow in God. And so how might you be used, and who might you share the gospel with today?